today as we come to the table.
You're going to have to go into battle in order for that to happen. It's interesting, even the children of Israel, when God brought them out of Egypt, God said, you know, they went through the wilderness, you know, for these 40 years. And when they entered into, you know, the promised land, he said, I'm not going to give this generation of the land immediately. And there were multiple reasons why. But one of the reasons that God gave that I find very interesting is he said, they have not learned battle. I'm going to leave the enemy in the land so that they're going to have to fight to take the land, because they need to learn battle. They need to develop character. They need to become more equipped for what is ahead and more like the Lord themselves.
Have you ever known someone whose parents protected them from everything? Anytime they faced a challenge, their parents were there to make sure they didn't struggle. Maybe it was by paying anytime they owed money. That person probably had an eye-opening experience the first time they encountered strife on their own. Well, thanks for staying with us today as we come to the table, the daily Bible study program of Pastor Mark Kirk of Calvary Knoxville. As Pastor Mark points out in today's message, sometimes God will allow you to face some opposition so you learn how to fight. God uses the struggle to develop your character and to make sure you're equipped to face the enemy. Ultimately, though, developing your character with the struggle, you become more like him. Now, let's join Pastor Mark in the book of Daniel, chapter 10, with today's edition of Come to the Table.
If you have your Bibles, let's open them up to Daniel chapter 10. As you guys are finding your way there, I'm going to pray and ask God to bless our time this morning. Lord, we thank you, God, for this morning. And as we look at understanding spiritual warfare, I pray that's what would happen, God. We would have a deeper understanding, God, that we would really be able to see in our mind's eye and by the Spirit what's going on in the spirit realm. And Lord, I pray for a lot of those that are here this morning that are maybe struggling right now in a spiritual battle and they know it. And those that are struggling in a spiritual battle, and they don't know it yet, but they will after today, as they recognize, wait a minute, this is a spiritual battle I'm in. God, I pray you not only open eyes to see that, but I pray, God, that you would encourage hearts into how to deal with it, so that we can learn to be warriors for you and learn to do battle. And so, Lord, open your word to us and be our teacher today, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, as we get into understanding spiritual warfare today, in Daniel chapter 10, we're going to get really, there's certain portions of scripture that give us a behind-the-scenes view of what's happening in the spirit realm, and I love those portions. This is one of them. You know, we have a description in Ephesians 6 of the spiritual armor that we put on and how to stand in battle, but then we see also, in the Old Testament with the kings, we see a behind-the-scenes of the battle that's going on, you know, with Job. We see the battles that are going on with the nation of Israel as Ahab is going against some of the kings in the northern kingdom and all that. And then we see here in Daniel chapter 10, we're going to get further insight in some behind-the-scenes in the battle that's going on and some rather awesome scenes here. And I think, look, we need to understand what's going on so we know how to fight. Now, your prayers are not going to be, you're still going to be praying, you're still going to be doing spiritual warfare, but when you can see it in your mind's eye, and I'm not saying basically trying to picture necessarily what's going on if you don't know what's going on in a particular situation, but understanding what's happening behind the spiritual, curtain, if you will, it helps you to know how to pray. And really, that's what today's going to be about. And as I said, there's a lot in the Bible about spiritual warfare, but chapter 10 just really kind of opens it up and gives us a better understanding into what's happening behind the scenes in really visualizing what's happening. Now, it's interesting when you read Ephesians 6, Paul says, you know, to understand we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities in heavenly places. And when it speaks of powers and principalities, there in the language is speaking of the demonic realm in echelons of rank. Is the way the language bears it out. In other words, you have, even as you have in earthly armies, you have different ranks. You have different ranks in the spiritual armies as well. And we're going to see some of those ranks today in the battle that's going on with Daniel. And I think it's also important to point out that it says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but powers and principalities. Again, we have to realize it's not people that we're wrestling against. It's the demonic realm. Now, we all see certain people that, you know, again, we feel like we're wrestling with. We see things that go on in politics, and we see all the battles that happen there and in the earthly realm. And yes, there is some things that we are to do in the physical realm. Don't get me wrong. If some of you that are called into that particular realm, God bless you guys. You know, you're going to find yourself frustrated a lot because, again, there's a lot of spiritual battle going on behind the scenes in Washington, in local politics, everywhere. And you wonder, why can't anything get done? Why is it so hard just to get one inch after years and years of battle? It's not because of people as much as it is the spiritual warfare that's going on. And if you recognize the spiritual warfare, you're going to find you can get a lot more done on your knees crying out to God than you can even standing in some picket line somewhere, whatever the case might be. Again, now when God calls you to do certain things, I'm not against that. Please don't misunderstand. There's a physical battle and there's a spiritual battle, but it's not against people we fight. It's the spiritual realm. It simply manifests itself among people. Something else we need to recognize is also, it doesn't say that we punch it out necessarily against the enemy, but we wrestle. We wrestle. Now, there are times when God gives us an immediate victory. You know what wrestling is like? Wrestling is very difficult. Now, again, I wish that the way that God did it, when it said we wrestled not against flesh and blood, I wish it was kind of like Friday Night SmackDown. I wish it was kind of like, you know, God comes from the top ropes and boom, you know, and then it's done and it's over, right? You walk around carrying the belt, you've done it, the enemy's defeated, right? But more often than not, it's more like high school and college wrestling, where you see the two people come together and they lock arms and this everything in their body goes tight. And everybody's waiting for the other one to make a mistake. And how can they position themselves to get that person pinned or whatever the case might be? And it can be a long, arduous physical struggle that goes on. And what we need to understand is most of our battles in the spirit realm, some of you going through them right now, you're in kind of this arm lock and you're having this long, frustrating, hard, discouraging battle. And you're going, why isn't this happening? And some of you know it's because of spiritual battle and you're already praying about it. Some of you maybe for the first time, a little light's coming on going, wait a minute, I didn't think that this would be spiritual battle, but oftentimes it is. Sometimes it's not, but a lot of times it is. And when we learn to recognize the spiritual battle, then we can realize, all right, God, you're the one that gives the victory, but I've got to be faithful to continue to struggle through this. I have to wrestle through this in prayer. I have to wrestle through this sometimes in fasting. I have to wrestle through this and standing firm with the full armor of God, and then eventually the victory will come. But the victory doesn't always come right away, and that can be discouraging. Some of you are discouraged this morning, and really God has put on my heart to encourage you. God heard your prayer. God sees the battle. God is working, but God is allowing you to go through the battle for a purpose. Listen, there are lessons that can't be learned, and there's growth that can't take place without battle. I wish it could happen another way. I really do, but the reality is it can't. There is something that happens in battle that transforms a person in the physical realm and the spiritual realm. Why is it after World War II they called that the greatest generation? Were they greater people than we are today? No, not necessarily. The point is their character was greater than our character today in many ways because they had gone through battle. And there's one thing that battle does. It creates character. Battle makes you into somebody that you weren't before. You begin to appreciate life. You begin to understand honor and respect and dignity. You realize that there's something going on that's much greater than yourself, and it transforms you into a new human being. And that happens in the spiritual realm as well. God says, I want to make you like my son, Jesus Christ. And that means you're going to have to go into battle in order for that to happen. It's interesting, even the children of Israel, when God brought them out of Egypt, God said, you know, they went through the wilderness, you know, for these 40 years. And when they entered into, you know, the promised land, he said, I'm not going to give this generation the land immediately. And there were multiple reasons why. But one of the reasons that God gave that I find very interesting is he said, they have not learned battle. I'm gonna leave the enemy in the land so that they're gonna have to fight to take the land because they need to learn battle. They need to develop character. They need to become more equipped for what is ahead and more like the Lord themselves. That's us. So again, the struggle you're going through is so that you might get stronger, so that you might learn how to battle, so that you might understand what's taking place and what's going on. You begin to examine how does the enemy wrestle. And then what do I do because of that? And how do I maintain because of that? And so this is really, there's so much that's so wonderful about today. Like I said, I don't necessarily like locking up with the enemy and the fact that it doesn't happen right away. But the reality is it doesn't in most cases. And also, you need to understand this as a believer. There is no retirement for battle. There isn't. Now, you can retire and get the RV and head across the country, and that kind of retirement can take place. But I'll promise you, even in that RV, you're going to have battle. Because as a believer, you can't escape the battle that we're in. We are called to be in the army of God. We are targets, whether we want to be or not. You might say, you know, look, I just want to get saved, right? Well, here's what happens. Yes, you got saved, but you're also a target now. The enemy wants to bring you down. So whether you're going to fight or not, he's going to. And I'll tell you this, the sooner you learn, all right, look, if he's going to be punching me all day, I need to learn how to fight back. The sooner you learn that, and the sooner you begin to engage him in prayer, engage with God in prayer, so to speak, so God can fight the enemy, the more you're going to be protected, the more victories you're going to have, and the more you're going to understand why is it that we fight every Sunday morning and not the rest of the week. It's because there's a spiritual battle going on. And the enemy knows how to, he knows how to discourage. He knows how to tear down. And we've got to engage in that battle, and we have to be ready for it. Daniel's now at an age, we think Daniel could retire. And so Daniel was already in his 80s. He's probably close to 90 years old by this point. Probably thinking about the RV and heading across Babylon to take it easy and maybe fish a lot. And God says, you got some of your hardest battles ahead, Daniel. You got some of your greatest battles. Until you leave this body, you're going to be battling until the very end. And I'm going to use you to the very end. By the way, I think sometimes people think, well, you know, when I get old, I can't do much anymore, and I can't serve like I used to, and maybe I'm just in a chair most of my life. You see people that are older like that. You're going to see that Daniel's battle that he does here was not a battle that was done at church. It was not a battle that was done in serving. It was not a battle that was won behind a pulpit. It was a battle in prayer that even somebody in their 90s could do that basically was a battle for his entire nation and moved heaven to where giant angels, and we'll see that in just a moment, were battling one another because of a prayer that Daniel made. That's pretty awesome. So don't think because you're older, you still don't have power where God can use you in the kingdom, because he can. Now, what's the setting here? Again, the 70-year captivity is over. They've gone back now, and those that have gone back in the first wave have now been there 2 years. They've started working on the foundation of the temple, and yet because of the opposition of the peoples in the land, they've been stalled. Now, again, we see that as, oh, man, they can't get their permit from the city. They can't get the NPC's not working with them, right? And so we see it from an earthly perspective as they've gone back and tried to get the temple built there in Jerusalem. But what Daniel realizes is there's a spiritual battle going on. The reason we're being held up is not because of the NPC. It's not because of the city council. It's not because of a governor or a mayor or even a president. The reason we're held up is because the spiritual realm is fighting against God and the things of God. And so we've got to barrel in, buckle down, begin to pray, ask for God to give us a breakthrough in this wrestling match so we can finish the temple in Jerusalem. And that's exactly what's going on. He recognizes it, and he begins to pray and say, God, you need to move. We're stuck. We need a breakthrough. Again, I was so excited about hearing these. Those of you that got together, I'm watching more prayer groups pop up here at Calvary, which makes me very excited. I mean, just kind of this organic prayer group popped up last week, and I didn't even know about it. So, hey, there are a bunch of people getting together praying for the pastors and the staff. I'm like, praise the Lord. I didn't know that was happening, but that's a great thing to know that's happening. But when these spontaneous prayer things begin to happen, if you would, be praying for things about the building. Be praying for God to open up doors for us to move forward, because as we begin to move forward even in what we're doing, the biggest opposition is going to be spiritual. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood. There's nobody that's really that we're battling against in any kind of places. It's the spiritual realm. Daniel recognized that. And so Daniel, again, was praying about that and saying, God, we need a breakthrough. We need you to move. We know that God gives the victory, but the more we move forward in the Lord, the greater the opposition is going to come. Satan's desire is to interfere and to stall the work of God, and there's going to be continual opposition because of that. And that's why if we understand spiritual warfare and recognize the fight, we know what to do and how to do it. And we don't get discouraged, when we're fighting and nothing's happening. Something is happening behind the scenes, and in God's timing, God will do it. And so that's where we jump in today with Daniel in that place again, now praying for the nation, seeing the need for a breakthrough. And in chapter 10, verse 1, it says, in the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a message was revealed to Daniel, whose name was called Belteshazzar. And the message was true, but the appointed time was long. And he understood the message and had understanding of the vision. Again, we talked about how God desires us to understand prophecy and to know what he's doing. Daniel understood. It says, in those days, I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. So 21 days. I ate no pleasant food, no meat or wine came into my mouth, nor did I anoint myself at all till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. Now notice Daniel wasn't here on a complete fast. This is a I guess, a type of fast, if you will, but not a complete fast for the three weeks here. But notice what he had done. He'd removed anything pleasant from his diet, so to diminish the human side, the fleshly side, if you will, to magnify the spiritual. And that really sums up what fasting is all about. Fasting is not to twist God's arm so God has to do what I want him to do. God, look, I'm not eating, so you've got to do this now. That's not how it works. God has a plan. We have to figure out what God's plan is and get in tune with it. But what fasting does is although we know all we can think about, especially at the beginning, is eating and all that goes with that, as we begin to deny the flesh in whatever way we're denying it, we get more in tune with the spirit. The flesh gets weaker, the spirit gets stronger. And so what Daniel's doing is he's weakening the flesh so that he can be more in tune with the spirit. No more, Krispy Kreme donuts for 3 weeks. You know, I'm going to hold off. Notice it says he didn't have any pleasant food. That is, it wasn't that he wasn't eating. He wasn't eating meat or pleasant foods, maybe a vegetable diet, if you will, type thing. And there are different kinds of fasts. Again, if you consider fasting, and all of us should as believers at different times in our life, we're called to that. There's a complete fast. That's where there's no food, no water, anything. That obviously needs to be a very limited thing because of the realities of life and death. And then there's partial fasting, which he's doing here, which is you deny yourself maybe pleasant things or whatever the case might be. There's short-term fasting. There's long-term fasting. But again, the goal is always the same, to get us in tune with the things of the Spirit. Now, notice he says in this fast, he's not only denying himself in the inner man as far as physically in the inner man, but notice he says, nor did I anoint myself there at the end of verse 3 at all till the whole weeks were fulfilled. Now, again, anoint myself. That would be, a picture really of basically, you know, taking care of the physical body on the outside. Now remember, Daniel was living in the Middle East at this time, very dry, very desert area. And so what you would do is, I guess it would be the lotion of the day. They would put a little bit of oil on their skin to keep it from being cracked and dry and that kind of thing. And Daniel says, I'm not even going to do that. I'm not going to worry about my outer man or my inner man physically. I'm just going to focus in on the things of God and let God speak to me. And so really kind of allowing that neglect, if you will, of the flesh in order to seek the Lord. And that goes really contrary to what the world tells us to do. The world tells us we need to be focused on ourselves, right? There's a term that oftentimes we hear, not as much now, it seems like, as I used to hear, but me time, right? I'm going to have some me time, right? Daniel says, no, I don't really want me time. I need thee time. I need to deny me. Me shouldn't be the focus. I need to focus on thee and get my eyes on the things of God and the things of heaven and allow God to move on behalf of the nation of Israel, who's gone back. Daniel didn't go back with them, being so old. Not much he could have done anyway. So God, no doubt, made it very clear that Daniel was to stay put. But at the same time, he's praying and caring about those that have gone back. And he's allowing himself to be physically, inwardly, and outwardly neglected to some degree, if you will. No doubt he was making himself presentable. That's not the point. But nobody else knew this but Daniel. But he wasn't. His focus was the things of the Spirit. And that's going to get him in tune with the Spirit. Now he can begin to see in the Spirit and be connected to the Spirit. And boy, is he ever going to be. Look at verse 4. It says, now on the 24th day of the first month, as I was by the side of the great river, that is the Tigris, I lifted my eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose waist was girded with gold of Uphaz. His body was like beryl, his face like the appearance of lightning, his eyes like torches of fire, his arms and feet like burnished bronze in color, and the sound of his words like the voice of a multitude. Now again, notice Daniel here is at the Tigris River. We're going to see in just a moment he had another group of men with him. We don't know who those men were. Were they other government officials? Were they other believers? I don't know. But they're with Daniel. We'll see that in just a moment. And Daniel gets this supernatural visitation. Now again, not every time you fast and pray. As a matter of fact, I've never had a supernatural visitation like this when I fasted and prayed. And I haven't fasted that much. I don't want to paint that picture, but I have some over the years. And I've never had an angel come and visit me that I could visibly see. So it doesn't mean that's going to happen if you fast and pray. But Daniel did. And how exciting this would have been. And yet how fearful at the same time this would have been. But Daniel was ready. Daniel was in tune with the Spirit. And now God is going to give a special message to Daniel and allow Daniel to physically see into the spiritual realm. Again, how exciting this would have been. And notice the description of this angel. It says he was clothed in linen, no doubt this heavenly linen here, not like earthly, but some kind of heavenly garment. He was girded in gold of Uphaz. That was the finest gold that was known in that day. A body like beryl in color. That's kind of an aqua blue type color. A face like lightning. Now imagine that. I'm trying to picture this angel here. A face like lightning. You've seen lightning strike, and for that moment that it kind of holds for a minute, and you see that brightness. Imagine it just continually holding, just and seeing that face. I mean, this is what Daniel's looking at when he sees this vision. Stays that way. Eyes like fire in the brightness of this lightning strike, if you will. Now you see these eyes that are lit up like fire, not like evil eyes that we think of, you know, in some kind of demonic thing, but just this kind of beautiful, fiery radiance. You know, no doubt was a holiness and a beauty to this particular angel that had Daniel's attention. And these eyes like fire, the best way that he knows how to describe it, like torches really, which is what they, you know, the only way he knew to describe it from his vantage point that day. Arms and feet like burnished bronze in color that is shiny and beautiful in this bronzy color underneath his clothing, and a voice like a multitude. Now again, the Bible also talks in John, gives a definition of Jesus looking like this, and says his voice was like a multitude of many waters. Imagine Niagara Falls or a large crowd speaking, but it's one person's voice, and what that would have been like. You know, you can kind of, in some of the modern movies today, you know, you hear kind of the sound effects they do. You might be able to kind of, you know, vision what that would be like, you know, in this voice or whatever. But this awesome being that just has this awesome appearance and this powerful voice that just suddenly shows up and overwhelms Daniel. Again, how amazing this would have been to see. And one day we will see them. That's going to be an amazing thing. Some, again, believe this may actually be because of the description, the Lord himself, because it does very much parallel the description we see in Revelation. However, if this is the Lord, obviously the Lord passes this off to another angel. By the time we get to verse 10, we'll see in a moment, because we're going to see that this angel was held up by the demonic realm. And of course, the Lord can never be held up by the demonic realm. No demon can hold back Jesus Christ. So I lean toward the side. This is not the Lord. This is simply one of his mighty angels. Maybe how the archangels look. Maybe Gabriel. It doesn't tell us which angel this is. We know it's not Michael, because we'll see he talks about Michael in a moment. But at the same time, just an amazing, fearful, glorious sight here of this angel. And so while we can't be 100% sure, we know that that's really an awesome angel. You know, it's interesting. We think about angels. The Bible says that Jesus said that the angels, the children of the earth, the angels see their faces every day. He gives the indication that children have a guardian angel that watches over them. And again, for those of you, you know, that have raised kids, you know that's true. I mean, again, just the stuff they do and the stuff they put in their mouth, and you panic by the time you can get to it, and you're like, okay, we're all going to die of some just like foreign disease here. It's amazing how God has designed and the way he protects children and the way he's done the immune system and all that goes with that. But it's interesting because, if God indeed has assigned an angel to every child, it begs the question, and some would say that theologically you could make the argument that you still have an angel assigned to you as an adult as well. We know that angels watch over us. We know that they're ministering spirits to watch over us. And if we do indeed have that same angel or an angel watching over us throughout our entire life, did you ever think about the fact of how many angels are in this room right now? Look around. They're right above you guys. This room is filled with angels right now. And I imagine them looking at us and smiling and saying, yeah, I'm gonna meet you guys one day. We're there. Yeah, I was there that day. You know, Mark was talking about it. And we were there. We were there. But right now, it's amazing to think that every time we gather, there's a room filled with angels as well. You know, we were singing a minute ago, and it says, and all the holy angels are singing. I'm going, and in my mind, I can see them right here in the sanctuary. And I'm singing with them going, go for it, guys. You know, they're singing to God. Holy are you, Lord. I said, hey, I'm getting to sing with angels today. That's awesome. But actually, every time we come together, that happens.
Thank you for tuning in to today's edition of Come to the Table with Pastor Mark Kirk. Lately, he's been bringing us God's Word from the book of Daniel, where we see how to faithfully serve God and pursue an attitude of hope, even when there seems to be no light at the end of the tunnel. The path to following Christ isn't always clear, and we may sometimes go off on rabbit trails, but we can trust in the provision of God. He walks with us. He doesn't leave us. And like Daniel, we can stand straight and tall in the sovereignty of Jesus. If you're a local of Knoxville or neighboring towns, would you consider joining us for upcoming service? We have a variety of days and times we gather together in worship. All the information, such as service times and where to find us, is online at thewaymedia.net. Being a part of a body of believers is essential for not only strengthening your relationship with Jesus, but also for accountability. We need to be in a community that supports us in chasing after heavenly things and denying worldly temptations. We look forward to personally meeting you and spending time together. Remember, that website is thewaymedia.net. On that same site are links to enhance your faith, and we trust you'll take time to explore each one. Our time is about up for now, but before we go, we want to say thank you for all of our listeners' support of this ministry as we band together in the name of Jesus to bring hope to a dark nation. We also covet your prayers for this ministry so that we can reach as many people as possible. Be sure to listen again as Pastor Mark brings more teaching here on Come to the Table. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.